Sweet. You look good, but the delay was very noticeable.
And little did we know, we already started the show. How are you guys doing?
Welcome back to the Taylor's Attack podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Randy is not dead, just for the record. He has been promoted, in fact, above the typical just baseline host. Who even wants to host a podcast?
No, so much
no one cares about that. He's been promoted to the advertiser sponsor position. So now he is in control of when sponsors enter the show, which will come out later. So, yep.
So if you hate the ads, blame Randy.
This is that's Randy's division now, not us.
Yep.
We can no longer take responsibility for that. But anyway, how are you doing, Nick?
Hey,
how's September?
I am doing well. It is September. We made it. I was kind of questioning that, like, for a while there, mostly all summer through 2020. I was like, I don't know if we're going to make it to September, but here we are. What do we not have yet?
9 months
we
in.
We still don't have an Apple event date, which is just hurting me because normally...
That's what makes September feel weird.
Exactly. If September doesn't have a September 7th or September 10th that we're all looking forward to, there's a problem with September. And that's my biggest problem with September right now. Like, normally, I've already requested time off work, and I've scheduled out, like, the entire day to sit there with my popcorn and my glass of water and my four devices all streaming the same live stream, seeing which one does four frames faster so I can be all excited.
Yeah.
But, unfortunately, we don't have a date, and so I'm wondering if they're even going to have an event in October, if they didn't have a little event in September.
Oh, really?
I don't know. It's like, they might just skip this whole thing.
This episode might age horribly.
Oh, it totally will.
For the record, because it's possible they might have announced a date by the time some of you are listening / watching. But in the time of recording, at least, we're very used to second Tuesday of September, unless it's September 11th, then they push it to Wednesday or Monday. But we're very used to that for the past few years. When was the last time it was in September? I think it's been like 5-6 years now.
Main iPhone event that was in September. Man, it was before the iPhone 5.
The 4S, I think?
I think the 4S was in September. Maybe it was in October. I'd have to use
I
the
thought
internet,
one but. Of the... I think it was either the 4 or the 4S was announced at DubDub.
Was announced at DubDub, and that's when they announced the...
okay, that's what it was.
They announced the white color right next to it, but it took them like an entire year to get the white color.
That's right. I remember that. Did you know that... I don't know if anyone else remembers this, but when they first unveiled the white iPhone 4, they claimed that the design showcased that they were going to be able to make the little proximity sensor white.
Oh.
And the production model actually didn't have that.
Huh.
So it was something they assumed they were going to be able to achieve, and then once the white one came out, it actually had the little black dot that now we're all used to seeing.
Yeah.
It's like the camera and then the proximity sensor. But when they unveiled it, they were like, oh no, it's so clean. Remember when white bezels were cool?
Yeah.
People thought that was a good look.
two thoughts there. Number one, you know how Steve Jobs acted it behind closed doors and with his colleagues.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure there was hell to pay when they were like, so, Steve, remember how we thought we could do this white proximity sensor? Sorry, but we're not going to be able to do a white proximity. What the heck is on my shower? That would not have been a fun conversation.
Stuff.
Go from anger to tears.
It was like
to bitter stare.
The ghost of Steve Jobs probably wanted them to announce air power before they figured out how it worked. But
that's probably
it sounds like something similar to that.
But yeah, then also the bezels being white. I remember thinking black bezels were just so cool for forever, right? And then the iPhone 5, Apple marketed iOS 7 very heavily with a white iPhone 5. Because before that, the white iPhones were always like girly colors. Ew, you girly color, you get a white one. And so like, you gotta get the black one because like it's manly and whatever. It's just how Apple promoted it, I'm sure. It's some subliminal marketing.
Masculine versus gender neutral marketing. Kind of like how more gaming hardware is always oriented more masculine in marketing. And stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
This is your cool gaming computer.
Yeah. But anyway, so like I remember thinking for quite a while, like, oh, I'm not going to get a white iPhone whenever I get an iPhone. I'm going to get a black one. And here I am with a white iPhone because mm-hmm. like white iPhones are totally better. And the reason why is...
Well, I got the black bezels.
Because they fixed the bezels is number one. But mm-hmm. when iOS 7 came out, like just there was a fundamental change, right, from the skeuomorphism and the right. darker, muted, more color tones, which matched the black bezel.
Mm-hmm.
But when they went to iOS 7, mm-hmm. Johnny Ive is all about the whiteness, right? Like, got to get the right. calendar was now just Simplicity. Pure white with, like, yeah, and just,
right.
And so it matched the bezels real well because, you know, mm-hmm. when a screen was on, it was all just white and looked really cool on the product images. And I remember being True. Like, oh, I want a champagne iPhone 5S. That was the color we were yeah. guessing it was going to be before we figured out it was called gold.
It was classy. So yes. classy.
It's going to be bougie. Mm. yeah. But
this is the iPhone you take on your red carpet premiere, you know?
Yes. Actually, the Apple Watch.
Looked very jewelry.
Yeah. It was a lot more putty. Putty is how I describe that shade of gold. Because
putty?
They kept that color for a long time. In the iPad lineup. I remember it in the iPad Air 2. I got that gold iPad Air 2.
I'm looking at all the iPhone boxes that, yeah. while you're
and
talking.
I think it's like the it's about the same color as the iPhone 7 that's on your wall there that's upside down. Drew, why is it upside down? Did I miss a Twitch stream or something?
Where it's you... what?
What? What? I know. It totally that's is when? Upside down, though. What?
I just like bothering people.
Yeah, no. The funny thing is, that's my mom's iPhone box. And so every time she watches one of your videos, she's probably sitting there like, it's upside down. My box is upside down. No. Where were we? That's
just
going to
keep turning
quickly.
More and more until they're all upside down. But yeah, no, I agree with the gold. Now oh, gold. Yes. Now no one likes gold.
I know. Gold is kind of the other color. I had it with the XS, and I think that was the last... It was the new color, right? And so it's all about the color that Apple markets. Mm-hmm. And
at you least... knew that was not the 10. Exactly. It had to be the XS if it was gold.
Yeah. It, mm-hmm. That's fair logic. Like, when I got the iPhone XS, I was like, I need to be able to show the world this isn't just some iPhone 10. I have the XS. Yeah. Pro Max wasn't a big enough difference there. But, Pro Max. Man, that's quite a name. So iPhones. Do you
I
think we're getting Apple
move
watches?
Away from that.
Do you think we're getting Apple watches soon? And if so, do you have money in the bank account already? Woo.
I do think we're getting watches soon because a bunch of them are not listed on the Apple Store anyway. But I'll limit my time on that subject because this section will age horribly.
But, yes.
are you excited for October iPhones? How you feeling that we're a month away now, even though this is typically our iPhone week.
So I know we've been through this probably 80 times now over this year. What's the lineup? I am still confused. So last night I was walking out to the mailbox stick a letter in the mail, and I was coming back and I was like, I was holding my iPhone 10. I was like, I really love this little size. I might get the small one this year. And as I was holding it, I was like, well, wait a minute. Is the small one the Pro or the itsy-bitsy one? Is that the Pro or is it just the regular 12? And so anyway, then I got all confused. So please straighten me out, Apple sheep. I need
Hold
help.
On. You want a smaller iPhone now? What has happened to Nick?
I know.
Who Nick, are you?
Nick's the uses of Nick's technology have changed. I've gone from having...
You've been kidnapped?
I have been. Randy's sitting in the corner.
Blink twice.
He has a chainsaw.
You're wanting the smaller iPhone now.
Yeah.
This feels weird. Now I'm going to be the big iPhone guy.
Well, so I haven't 100% made up my mind, but the more I'm using my iPhone 10, the more I'm loving it. Like, so for those who didn't tune in last week, I sold my 11 Pro Max after I had Apple replace it after I cracked the back. That was a sad incident. But I've been full-time on this iPhone 10 for probably 2 or 3 weeks now. And I love it.
And it's just a 10, right?
It's just 2017? A 10. 64 gigabyte, 2017 silver iPhone 10. I got it for just under $300. Gotcha. Best deal of the century.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was a great deal. It's kind of used. There's some
That's
scratches.
A really good deal.
But it's a great phone. And I'm staring at it right now. I'm using it to record video, which is why my video looks like crap this week. Yeah, it's just a nice size. Like, I see what Randy's talking about. Now, consuming content on it isn't as fun. Also, texting isn't as much fun. But I'm working so much. I'm sitting here on my keyboard and desk. I'm not using my phone more than 2 hours a day, maybe. I mean, that's including like YouTube and texting people throughout the day. And I'm hardly on Twitter anymore. In fact, I deleted the Twitter app and I'm just using mobile, the web app, because I'm being all minimalist and only have four apps on my home screen. But yeah, I'm loving this iPhone 10 thing, and just so pocketable and small, and like the other one was chonk.
So it's kind of going with a minimalist vibe.
Yeah.
Because you're using your phone for less things. So exactly. It's more compact.
Fewer distractions. You know, if I'm going to, like, last night, it's the first night in, like, weeks that I had time to sit down and watch a movie, so I watched Monty Python and the Holy Grail. I've seen all of the little clips on YouTube about it, and I'm like, I just need to sit down and watch this entire movie. Very good movie, by the way. Just so much dry humor. It was before its time. So many memes. But the ending of the film, I was just like, wait, what? It's over? No way.
Yeah.
But anyway, I watched that on my iPad. I think if I still had my 11 Pro Max, I would just watch it on my phone sitting in bed because, I don't know, I did like watching things on my iPhone because, I don't know, I got a little closer and it just felt more immersive and it was OLED and, you know, nicer experience, I thought. But I watched it on my iPad, and it was still a pretty good experience, actually possibly even better, because I just propped up my iPad on my chest with the keyboard case, and it just sat there, and I watched the movie, and I kind of enjoyed that. And so I'm like, now if I want to watch content, maybe I'm going to shift to my iPad, which previously was pretty much just a production device. Like, I really didn't use my iPad for YouTube at all.
Anyway,
changing habits.
So now that you're really, really interested and in love with the 5.8-inch display, great news, Apple's getting rid of it.
No way, are you kidding?
None of the iPhone 12s, none of them are 5.8 inches.
Oh my gosh.
You have to go either smaller or bigger.
I'd go smaller.
Okay. Well, I think if you really like that footprint, the 6.1-inch iPhones are going to be pretty close because the squared-off chassis should result in the bezels being a lot slimmer than the iPhone 11.
Oh.
The XR is 6.1 inches, but the bezels are very thick because it's liquid retina. So now that they're slimming down the bezels with the squared-off design, I think form factor-wise, it'll probably be a little bit bigger than your iPhone 10, but still pretty close.
Interesting.
It'll be a smaller form factor than the XR. I know that much. But in case you need an update on the lineup.
Yes, please. I need a full update here.
As it stands, there's the non-Pro and the Pro. Okay? Two sections.
So we both can fill
sections
out an Apple
have
quadrant.
Two sizes.
We can fill out an Apple quadrant.
Yeah, it's kind of a quadrant. It's like portability versus premium. So you've got two sizes for both types of iPhone instead of currently, where we only have one size for the base iPhone 11, but we have two sizes for the Pro. Now it's two sizes for both.
Okay.
With the regular iPhone 12s, the ones everyone's going to care about, you have 5.4 inches and 6.1.
5.4?
So,
ooh.
5.4 is smaller than the SE, footprint-wise.
Wow.
Not screen size. So it's smaller than the iPhone 6.
iPhone SE, 8. iPhone 8 edition, or iPhone SE 5S edition?
The second SE.
The second SE, so the 5S.
So this year's SE. It's smaller than that, but the display will be bigger because it's still edge-to-edge and OLED and everything. And it has Face ID, and it's got a dual camera on the back with the ultra-wide and standard. But the battery, I assume, will be pretty small, but battery life should be comparable because the A14 chip is rumored to be super-duper power-efficient. So
and that's just the regular
12.
That's dual camera?
Yeah.
No LiDAR?
Dual camera, ultra wide, no LiDAR, no telephoto.
Oh, I need telephoto.
And it's aluminum.
I need telephoto.
It's aluminum and glass. Probably going to be glossy glass.
Aluminum. Oh, and then, gosh. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. I was sold for a minute there.
You're back
you
and
thought.
Forth on this one. Yeah. But then we have the larger size 12 at 6.1 inches, which I'm anticipating, I'll probably be wrong, but I'm anticipating it'll be called the 12 Max because I think they want to reserve Plus for services.
Okay.
And the 12 Max is going to be aluminum, dual camera, same specs, A14 chip, still OLED, but just with a 6.1-inch display, so a little bit bigger.
Okay.
So that's your two regular iPhone 12s. And so then
5.4 and 6.1.
5.4, 6.1, yeah.
OLED, aluminum body, glossy.
They're both OLED,
Okay.
And both Face ID, camera. Both dual camera.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I don't think I'm interested in both have because I need telephoto.
Okay. So telephoto is important to you.
Yeah.
That's where the pros come in.
Okay.
In this case, there's again two sizes. The smaller one is 6.1, and the larger one is 6.7. Both OLED, both stainless steel, and honestly, the rumors for what the 6.1-inch Pro has are a little bit bumpy right now. For the longest time, we've assumed the 6.1-inch Pro would have LiDAR, but there are a few people suggesting it won't.
Ooh.
And now we're hearing reports that aren't super reliable, but a few people are suggesting that millimeter wave 5G will only be on the 6.7-inch iPhone, and the basic 5G will be on the smaller one. But
I know you don't care about 5G. Because 5G is just so important to me.
I would almost go as far as to say that Apple's maybe considering scrapping the 6.1-inch Pro entirely because I think a lot of people have been making the case that it doesn't have much over the 6.1-inch regular 12, and it's going to cost, worst case scenario, $250 more, and all you're getting is stainless steel.
So it'll start at $1,250?
No, the pros will still start at $1,000, but the regular 12s will be $700 and $800, or $650 and $750. We're not sure.
Yeah.
Somewhere around there. So that's what the rumors tell us now, and as we've known in our history, rumors are not super reliable.
What?
I hope we get something huge off that would be nice, but that's what we know currently. Typically, the screen sizes we get pretty accurate. So,
interesting.
I believe the form factor rumors. So, knowing that, it sounds like you're still leaning towards the pros.
Huh. Well, I appreciate you laying all that out because initially, I was like, I could go with a smaller one because the 5.8-inch iPhone X is great. But if they're not going to do the 6.1-inch Pro, I don't know what I'm going to do. Because, I guess I could go to 6.7 Pro, whatever. But, yikes, that's a lot
Pro
of phone.
Max.
And I did that before, and it's fine, and I'm big enough to be able to deal with it. But, just something about, just that so small, just barely there.
Compact.
I've really been enjoying the compactness of the 10. So if they don't do the 6.1, maybe I just won't upgrade this year.
Oh my God. You really are a different person.
I know.
Something's changed. We were just talking about not upgrading last episode, I think.
And
now you're saying you want to try it this year. We're already going there, man. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to be the only guy getting the new iPhone at this point. Randy's going to come out next week and say he's not upgrading.
Well, I won't be here next week because we got to keep this pattern going of, me being here and not being here. Anyway.
No, we can't have three people on anymore.
No, we can't, especially since our Ludicrous Future podcast got Scott Manley on and totally screwed up their whole vibe. That's a Easter egg for you space nerds. So I don't know. I would really want the 6.1 inch Pro, but I don't want to compromise on the dual camera. And honestly, I think I'd rather get a Pro camera over an iPhone this year. I mean, there's nothing
really
stopping me
it's
from
that
getting
much about the camera.
There's nothing stopping me from getting both, but being responsible adult that I am, it's probably good to limit myself to one, at least for a while. Also, when are the pros coming out? That's the other question here, I guess. Before we get into the camera
rumored product. Right now to be unveiled in October, ship in November.
So both
the regular 12s to ship in October.
Okay, so the regular, they'll all get announced on the same day, all three or four of them.
Yeah,
and then
all four. Yeah.
Four, unless they don't do the 6.1, and
then, unless they scrap it, yeah.
Okay, so three or four of them will be announced on the same day, sometime in October, and the regular 12s will be launched soon after. A week,
yeah,
2 weeks.
They'll ship probably a week or two after.
But then the pros are gonna have to wait another month.
Yeah, probably not until November. Kind of like the iPhone 10.
I had the same problem with the iPhone 10. When September came around, yeah. I was just so excited in 2017 to get a new phone that I just went and got an 8 Plus, and then I was stuck with it for a year because I didn't want to yep. be patient and wait another month and a half for the 10.
I did the same thing, but I sold the 8 Plus after.
Yeah, I probably could have done that. I probably should have done that, but I don't know. I'm super content with my 10. Let me say it this way. I'm super content with okay. my current phone, which is weird sure. because this is Mr. Technology with the $2,000 $2,200 iPad setup and, you know, the yeah. the not broke boy headphone setup. So
that should be your Twitter bio. Nick, inventor of the $2,000 iPad setup.
Oh man, this is embarrassing. But
I don't like you're the guy I think of whenever people say who actually gets the Magic Keyboard, the maxed out iPad, and the Apple Pencil. I'm like, no, I know people.
I know the guy.
I know someone.
The one guy. I like use
someone
it.
Someone goes all out on these iPads.
Yeah, mm-hmm. there's a little side note there with the some beta or something. Actually, I'm not on any betas on this. I think I'm on 13.6, but on the iPad, oh, wow. I have a terabyte of storage, right? And so when I go into the about iPhone storage or general iPhone storage, it says that I have 500 mm-hmm. and it's calculating. I'm using 458 gigabytes, so I have Dang. More than half available. It says I have more than half available, but when I go to import pictures or videos, it says, sorry, not enough storage. Please clear out space. And so I was like, what? So I posted on Twitter and I was like, come on, Apple.
That's weird.
Why is your iOS not recognizing it's on, you know, a terabyte device? Actually, it is.
They don't expect anyone to actually use that much.
Exactly. I think it's some kind of bug in the settings app, because if I go into files on the iPad and then I go mm-hmm. to on my iPad and then at the bottom, it says I only have 48 gigabytes available. So either
so
I have
the firmware is thinking it's a 512 gig iPad when it isn't.
I guess I don't really know what the deal is because, yeah, down there it says either I have 50 gigabytes left or I have 550 gigabytes left. So that's kind of a big swing there, right? So I have everything that I need, right? Like I could go purge mm-hmm. a few TV shows if I wanted to. I have all of The Office and all of Parks and Rec and like a couple long movies stored on here locally. So I could purge those if I needed to. But it's that kind of like, I spent a lot of money on this and I can't actually even use everything. So
that seems like a bug that would go unnoticed because there's a very small percentage of people that actually use as much storage as you. So if it is a bug, it would be very hard to report because Apple would only see it across like three people who put
three
you know,
people who
all
bought
the office
fourth
on their
gen
iPad.
iPad Pro in a terabyte configuration.
Right. But that's interesting that they're like, oh, yeah, no one will actually use that much though. Like who would use a terabyte storage?
Gary's right? over there rating the importance of bugs and he's just like, right. No one has a terabyte iPad Pro. Let's stick that all the way down at the bottom. It's like the good old Netflix days when you can move things in your
queue.
I'm
concerned. Right, just, right. Like, I'm concerned what's going to happen when my iCloud storage runs out.
I'm close.
I can't even upgrade it.
I'm close.
How close are you?
I'm going to look. I was within like 50 gigabytes a while ago. Let me check.
50?
iCloud.
Okay.
Oh my gosh. It says 2 terabytes of 2 terabytes used. I'm clicking on manage storage for more details. It's thinking.
For some reason, iMessage is turned off in iCloud. I don't know why, but
holy cow!
I still have 1.1 terabytes left, so
I have less than 24 gigabytes available on iCloud.
What do they do?
So close. I have no idea. I can't. I click the little teen storage plan, and it says
so the
2 terabytes downgrade options, and I'm like.
They're just like, well, you should buy more. Well, I guess you can't. You should start a second Apple ID and start paying another 2 terabyte plan.
No.
And just have 2 IDs that you switch between. Yeah, what are they going to do? They're just going to be like, delete stuff now, I guess.
I mean, I have 700 gigabytes of photos on my iCloud account, so I could probably go delete a few of those if I wanted to. Half of those are probably our videos from these podcasts. I don't like that.
So, I feel like...
Go ahead.
After a certain amount, they should just say unlimited. I think if you hit 2 terabytes, then they're like, okay, maybe we up your iCloud billing like an extra $2 or $3, but now it's unlimited.
Because the number of people who have actually maxed out the 2 terabyte iCloud is
yes, that's the point. You won't be able to Here's my Apple theory for you. My Apple pitch. This is my iCloud storage concept idea. My this idea is
great clip.
Not anyone can sign up for the unlimited plan. You have to hit the 2 terabyte mark for it to be unlocked. So only someone like you could actually pay for it. But if someone like me just said, I want it to be unlimited, I couldn't activate it. That's my pitch.
I like that idea. Yeah. So me currently, my personal, because I share my iCloud storage with my family. So I'm using 1,684 gigabytes. My grandpa's using 250 gigs. My mom's using 50 gigs. My grandma's using 22. My sister's using 17. And my dad, big winner, 26.5 megabytes. So I don't even...
26.5. That sounds like my family, the 26 megabyte
yeah.
team.
So but, I don't know. Maybe one of them can buy a storage plan, and maybe it would add to the family pool. I might have to...
That'd be a better idea.
...look into that. But I am curious. I'll report back.
Tell them.
I'm sure probably when I do the video for this show, I think it'll probably hit 24 gigs. That's crazy. It says
you're
2 terabytes.
You're pulling the whole family.
2 terabytes. I know. And when they all
you got to boot some people off.
Sorry, Grandpa.
You start kicking
too
them.
Much storage. Back on your own plan.
The future is now, old man. Yeah. So you said you care more about the camera. You might think about just doing a camera instead of the iPhone upgrade this year. What cameras do you have in mind?
So my reasoning behind this is... most of the uses for my phone right now, like the purpose it's being used for right now, is video recording.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm working, I'm on the phone with clients and leads, and I'm talking to people and having meetings. And so I use some of the jankiest software I've ever seen that connects my phone and makes it into a webcam for my computer. And it's really nice because I can set it up on the tripod and move it back and use my telephoto lens and, you know, get double in and set up my background and get my lighting just right. So, like, I look super crispy hopping on any Zoom calls. Like, you'll know when you're on a Zoom call with Nick because everyone else will be, you know, up the nose webcam with, you know, MacBook style 480p. And Nick's in here with the 1080p iPhone quality video. And it's like, hey. But, and also a podcast recording, right? So we record, you know, 2-hour and 15-minute shows. I'm getting a little bit more regular on the space podcast. And so, you know, there's content that I'm making video side. And I feel like probably a solid 40% of the screen on time of my iPhone is probably in the camera app recording video. That's a guess. When I think of that, I'm like, well, I have no current problems with my phone right now. They have 10. What if I just got an actual... because I've had nice DSLR cameras in the past, but those are more for photography. I've never been a big videographer because those people are snooty and don't know what they're talking about. Now I'm looking at getting a cinema camera. So, I'm looking at a bunch of different camera options. And at the end of the day, what I want it to do is a super simple live stream setup. Everyone on the internet calls it live stream, but I'm going to use it for Zoom. No one will need to know. I basically want to be able
to be the number one Zoomer.
Exactly. I'm going to be the OG Zoomer. That's why we're
going to... in more ways than one.
That's why our generation is going to be called the Zoomers. When history books are talking about our generation in 50 years, and be like, yeah, the Zoomers. And all the kids are going to be like, yeah, because, you know, they were Generation Z. And we'll be like, no, Shani, it's because we used Zoom for the pandemic of 2020.
Because we were Zoom calling in 2020 nonstop. Yeah.
I met your grandmother over Zoom.
Right. Zoomer has more than one meaning now. It makes sense.
It does. Yeah, so that's kind of what I want. And so my budget is basically a new iPhone money, so about $1,500 or so. And I don't mind going more because I know I'm going to use it, right? Like, I don't mind going out on technology if I know I'm going to use it. So the current amount of time I use my phone all day, every day, plugged in and set up as my camera, and so I would be getting very much use out of any camera that I got. So I'm trying to decide between a Sony A6400, B a Sony A2 or A7II or A7II, however they nomenclature that. A Blackmagic Pocket Cinema, 4K, not 6K, because 6K is a waste of money, and I couldn't even display 4K on... I guess I could throw it up on my monitor, but who wants to do that? An Ursa Mini Blackmagic. Any ideas? Because you are Mr. Zoomer Livestreamer here, so...
I'm Mr. Blackmagic.
Team Blackmagic.
That's where I come from. I have nothing against the Sonys, though. Those are really, really... the people I've seen that have them, they take great videos and pretty competitively priced compared to Blackmagic.
Yeah.
I have not done much research into how good they are.
All of those cameras are in the $1,000 to $1,200 range.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said the A7 II?
Yeah, the A7 II is about $1,000 on Best Buy.
Yeah, it is. I was looking at it. And the other one you were looking at was the A600?
A6400, yeah. Or 65 or 66.
I put in them.
But those are more expensive, and you get about
the same. I put in something. I'm just comparing the specs to see, because sometimes I forget the names, but then when I see them, I'm that one.
They all do 4K. Only the Blackmagic Pocket Cinema does 4K at 60. They all do 1080 at 60.
See, I'm a sucker for 60.
I know you are. That's why I can't tell the difference, and I just look at the larger file and say...
Okay. So that's not super important for
you. It's not super important, but it's a number on the spec sheet, so, you know.
It is a number. That is true. What I don't have experience with the Sonys that maybe someone with more experience with them could help is I don't really know live streaming-wise if they have great... tech for that, because
so that the Sony is a blessing and a curse. It comes with some new software that Sony just wrote, like within the past month, that you download it on your computer, and all you have to do is plug your camera in via USB, the USB cable it comes with, and the camera will just automatically become a webcam. So you don't need an Elgato or anything like that. Just super simple. Okay. But since
what's the resolution?
It's 1080 at 30. Is what that software supports. So, and that's all I really need. Like my internet's not going to go do anything more than 1080 at 30. But I want to be able to like record local video. Like if I could get our video right now in 4K at 30, then, you know, I can look better than Randy, which is the most important part here.
That's an unfair advantage though, because you'll be recording locally. But if I wanted to record on Blackmagic, it would take forever to send you the footage.
This is true. You can just mail me SD card or whatever the little drives are.
I think it might be faster to ship you the CFast card than it would be to upload
overnight
the footage.
FedEx overnight it.
Yeah, that would probably be faster than just uploading the data. But... So the Sonys look great. Yeah, they're very small and compact, which is nice.
The problem with the Sonys is they're prone to overheating. So people say that they overheat after like 90 minutes of doing the whole Zoom thing. So that's where I'm like, big red flag for the Sonys.
Gotcha.
However, 90 minutes is plenty of time for a meeting, and I could just turn it off and on.
True.
You know, when I start and stop. But do the Blackmagics overheat, or what's your experience with the Pocket Cinema?
Yeah, I don't know anyone that's used the Sony cameras for dedicated live streaming. I'd love to hear from them if there are any out there. But for me, I've done well over 90-minute streams with the Pocket camera with power plugged in and it outputting via the direct HDMI, which is kind of nice because I think you have a Cam Link, if I'm not mistaken.
No, I don't.
Do you not?
No.
Oh, okay.
I was looking at getting one of those a while ago, but I just settled on this janky $25 iPhone software.
Okay, gotcha. So you'd need a Cam Link, but you wouldn't need any additional software if you care about that type of thing. So the Blackmagic, it gets very, very hot. I'll give it that. When I touch it, it's super, super hot after live streaming. But it is never once in my... I've owned it for a year and a half now, and I've used it for live stream. I've used it for gaming streams. I've used it for... the tech streams, and never once has it heated to the point it needed to shut off. So maybe I'm doing some very permanent long-term damage to it. I mean, that's, I'm using it for the reason I bought it, so I'm not really going to use it any differently. If I was told, well, just don't use it for that, then I wouldn't use it at all. So I don't really care if I'm doing long-term damage because I have no other use for it. So at least in a year and a half of use, it's multiple times been plugged in for hour and a half, 2 hours, doing 1080 at 60. It probably would be a little less hot if it was 1080 at 30, I'm guessing. And the nice thing about, I don't think the Sonys have this problem, but a lot of earlier camcorders or Canon DSLRs would limit your record time to like 30 minutes or 20 minutes for some reason. There's some EU law that prevents them from recording for a certain amount of time, where the Blackmagics have never had that problem. You could record for 4 or 5 hours if you wanted to, because I think they're more dedicated for video. They don't do pictures.
Can you hot swap that? Well, I guess I know the Ursa Mini has two drives, right? You can two slots for two CFast cards. Does the Pocket Cinema also have that? Or does it just
It has one CFast slot, but it also has an SD card slot.
Ah.
So
can you hot swap those while you're recording?
I've never tried that. I don't know if you can. I think you could. I don't see why you wouldn't be able to. It's fun. We're talking about it. It's right here on my desk. Filming for my AirPods video, and I was just using it. But it has. So what I like. Oh my god! I just spilled water. the floor again. Dang it! Oh well.
Well, now we're both in a market for a new Pocket Cinema.
It went on the floor, luckily, not on nothing tech related. But yeah, it has USB-C, which I like, and
even
also
the,
you can
even the
4K
one
to...
has C. Okay.
Yeah, you could record directly to...
I thought those were like 2015 models or something.
2019? I think it came out. I think it was... Maybe it was end of 2018. I know they were really hard to get your hands on for a while. They were really high in demand and low in stock, but...
Interesting.
I ordered mine and got it within a month, I think, or something like that. But yeah, you can record directly to SSDs. So if you have like a 2 terabyte external drive, you can plug it right in and record straight to it. On the side, it has a CFast slot and an SD card slot. And I don't record video to SD cards anymore, so I haven't really experimented with it. But my guess is that you'd probably be able to record, you know, keep both in there, and it would switch between them. I think it would do that, but I could be wrong. I've never tried it myself. But it's been great. I like it. The biggest problem I have with it is battery life, but I don't think that's going to be an issue for you.
Yeah, you just get that plug, right?
Because it's always plugged in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it comes with a power cord that charges the battery. And
they're like, so we know the battery's crap. Here's a really long extension cord. It's like that Mac versus PC commercial where PC's like, yeah, we don't have long battery life. We have a really, really long extension cable.
Yeah. Well, to be completely fair, 1 second.
Drew has left the chat, everyone.
This is the battery for the Ursa Mini. Okay.
Good
big
Lord.
Chunk. It's about the size of
that's
my
almost
phone.
A Tesla battery pack.
10,400 milliamp hours versus the Pocket Cinema, which is, you know, the whole camera is about the size of the Ursa's battery. This is their battery.
Dang.
And both cameras can record 4K at 60. So
wow.
It's kind of impressive in itself that the Pocket Cinema can record at all for that amount of time on battery life, but pretty much any time we've gone on a shoot, like the most recent Saturday short, for example, any time we've gone out and recorded with this thing, it has died on me. And we've had to stop and go inside and charge or plug it in and use it directly off power. So when you're recording with this thing on battery power, it is like...
10 minutes?
Not even an hour.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It is like 20, 30 minutes probably maximum, and then it dies on you. And the battery percentage also fluctuates heavily. It'll be like, while you're recording, it's as low, and then you stop recording and it goes to half, and then... So the battery's very, it's a guesstimate basically in the software. It's like, probably 5 minutes to 90 minutes. I don't know. Somewhere in there.
Somewhere in there.
Like, it's like going to die any
second.
It's
like Social Blade. This YouTuber makes between $2 and $10 million.
Yeah.
True.
It's like, well, they're they're right, I guess, but yeah. So other than battery life, though, it's been great. I love Blackmagic's user interface, the touch, and being able to scrub through videos and reformat really easily. The sensor looks great. I've seen people shoot very professional-grade stuff on the Pocket Cinema, so
yeah,
I can recommend that one. I don't really know why you would go with an Ursa Mini, though. Is there any particular reason that stood out to you?
I just knew you had it, so I was looking at it, but it seemed like they're about $2,500, and I couldn't really discern what was specific. It looks cooler, I guess. That's one thing. It looks more
It is a larger pro. Sensor. So okay.
Better in low
mine,
light.
Mine is an EF lens mount versus the Pocket Cinema, which is a micro four thirds, which yeah. means it crops in a little more. Mm. And I think overall visuals might come out a slight bit better with the full frame.
I'll ask John Morrison to pull up both of the footages on his Pro Display yeah. HDRs and compare them.
But I have, for the record, I've switched between the two when shooting tech and EV and not had people notice.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's not a huge difference. But if you're asking for my personal recommendation, I think the Pocket Cinema is pretty great.
Okay. Well, I would really wish that Randy was here I've used. Because he has an A6400. And that's one of the other cameras on my list. And so
you could pick his brain on it, too.
I'll have to ask him in the next podcast. Speaking of Randy, though.
It's very simple, Nick. You just have to pick whose live streams look better, me or Randy's. Very simple.
Neither. My live streams are way better than both of yours because they don't exist. Ooh!
Brilliant. But speaking of Randy, we should go check in on him real quick.
Hey, Randy, how you doing?
Do you drink coffee? Tea? Are you a veteran or an active duty service member? Cuban? Do you live in California? Do you like supporting small businesses? If you said yes to any of these, then this is for you. This week's episode of the Talos of Tech podcast is brought to you by MotoMilitantCoffee.com. If you know my story, my background, then you know that I too am a veteran. So this is a very cool collaboration and partnership that we got to do with these guys. And listen, even if you don't care about the backstory and all that stuff, which I would recommend reading their story, the product is just great. I've been a customer for a very long time with these guys. You see me drinking coffee during the shows. Well, if you ever wanted to know what was in my coffee, I'm telling you, it's not Starbucks. Oh no. I've been trying out these guys for a few months now, and they got quite the range of flavors, from pumpkin spice to Mexican chocolate. And the new one that I'm trying out right now is Cinnabon. They got this and so many more flavors on their website. You get to decide what roast you want, what kind of grind you want, what flavor you want. And now that the summer's coming to an end, pumpkin spice is the appropriate flavor. And I definitely like this one way better than Starbucks. Not even a comparison. Listen, I'm a big coffee drinker, okay? And besides being a veteran who had to grow up on coffee to stay awake during those long hours during deployments, or even having the Cuban background, so espresso's in my blood, I just like the taste of coffee. And specifically, I like the taste of this coffee. Go to MotoMilitantCoffee.com and use the code TALOSIF at checkout to get 10% off your first order. And if you want to be cooler than Nick and Sweeney, and you got yourself one of these, they let you pay with Apple Pay. That's basically 12% off your first order. So why wouldn't you want to do that? Go do that. And thank you to MotoMilitant Coffee for sponsoring this week's episode.
And thank you for sponsoring us.
Yeah. Thank you for finding sponsors, Randy. Randy is actually pulling his weight now. That's why we're giving him this promotion here to the chief marketing officer who's in charge of advertising.
He's now a host fellow for the Talos of podcast. Oh, well.
I created the podcast and I'm not a fellow. It's a bit like Steve Jobs not being fellow.
When you retire, you'll become a fellow.
Okay. I'll become a Talosive fellow or a podcast fellow, because there's a difference there.
Both. Talosive podcast fellow.
I'll be the first person to be a Talosive and a podcast fellow. Mm. This is exciting. I'm going to have to make myself I'm going to have to make myself a wooden play button.
Make yourself a what?
To celebrate.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Have you followed any of the news surrounding the Fold 2 or the Duo?
Oh, my gosh.
Which are launching this month?
One of the very few videos I decided to watch was Marquez's recorded in the back of a trailer, which, dude, you could have done something with the air conditioner. Turn it off. Sweat for 10 minutes. And we don't want to hear the fan, please. But That phone.
I sweat for audio.
Drew does it. Marquez should do it too. I mean, come on. Marquez was only in the desert. Profusely. That's all.
This room gets hotter than the desert. No joke.
I think it does. I've never been there, but I've seen the sweat pouring off your face as you're staring into my eyes and my soul.
And the AirPods falling out repeatedly.
That too.
Like after Dub Dub, they would not stay in for like a full second. Like I'd put them in, instantly fall out because of that's how sweaty I was. But what did you think of the Fold 2?
Oh yeah, Fold 2. I'm not gonna get it, but it's kind of looking like the first
shocker.
The Z Flip was kind of like the first one. I was like, okay, that looks like not a prototype. But this one is the first, like, what the Galaxy Fold should have been. Because it has a full front display. And I don't understand why all of the other ones couldn't have a full front display. Why is it such a problem to not have a full front display? Like,
I don't know, maybe price or... maybe they just wanted room for improvement on the next one.
I guess, but the first Fold was just
that's
like...
That's what I feel like it is.
The first Fold was like... an iPod Nano screen, and then like the Flip had like an iPod Shuffle screen, which was one LED, by the way. Yeah, I don't know. So it looks nice. Marquez's B-roll and stuff looked pretty cool.
It looks cool.
It would be cool enough for me to pick up next time I'm at Best Buy and play with it. If they let you touch it, because they didn't let us touch the last Galaxy Fold. They have it in this little dome.
True.
It's like...
Very true.
No dust in this dome. It's perfect.
Long term, it wouldn't last as a demo unit.
No. There'd be so many people with keys. I'm sorry. Fingernails. I'm trying to see.
Fingernails, yeah. I bet my wife would scratch it accidentally just because of how she...
Does she have long fingernails?
They're very long. Mm. Yeah. So, I'm like, that's... She's not fold friendly. But I did order one for the record.
You ordered one?
In case you weren't
aware.
I ordered a Duo and a
She ordered a Duo. Why did you give Microsoft money? No, you're feeding Bill Gates' fortune. We do not like Bill Gates.
Apple didn't believe me. The Apple card had to request me to manually review the Duo purchase. They were like, we noticed some bizarre activity. I tweeted that one out. But, yeah. So it's going to be a foldable month, I guess.
So September is foldables, not iPhones. This is sad.
This was supposed to be iPhone month, and now it's foldable month. I hate 2020 so much.
Me too.
Oh, well. I think what the Fold 2 has proven to me, at least in the tech YouTuber field, is that people are going to like this stuff regardless just because it's kind of new and different. What I notice is if you go back and watch the original Galaxy Fold review, people are like, well, the external display isn't that bad. It's just good for the basics and the essentials. And I really like using the full screen display and it feels good and everything. And then the Fold 2 comes out and people go, oh my God, this display is so much better. This is such a big improvement. And the durability and the structural integrity of the hinge is so much better. And I was like, well, you didn't say it was a problem last time. It just suddenly becomes a problem when the new one comes out. So
yeah, it's not a problem until Samsung
fixes it. And I'm not saying it's bad.
It.
No. And I'm in full honesty, I'm the same way with Apple. You know, I'll be like, oh, I don't care about ultrawide. And then they add ultrawide. I'm like, holy crap, this is great. I love ultrawide. So I'm saying it's fine for you to realize it could be so much better. But what that means is when people like me are doing that or people reviewing the Fold are doing that is bias.
Yeah.
It means there's predetermined bias. And I'm upfront and clear about that. Hey, guys, I'm biased towards Apple. So if that's happening with the foldables, I think in my opinion, it means you were going to like this anyway. This is you're just in love with the concept, with the idea of a foldable, that it doesn't matter if the external display is crappy or the hinge doesn't feel solid. You're just in love with it either way. So bias is okay. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but I guess I see foldables as a very small luxury niche and not the future. as a lot of people are making it out to be, as this is where smartphones are going, this is the future, this is what we're all going to have one day. I don't see it that way. I see it as like there's a small subset of the tech community that wants
differently?
Do I see
things? Are you a crazy one?
Am I a crazy
one? Are you a rebel, a misfit, or an outcast?
I guess I think Apple's better at being the rebel than Samsung, because the thing is, Samsung makes 40 phones a year, so
and they manufacture displays to a single yes. So, you know,
right, right. That Apple's the type of company to see something like this and be like, you know, nah, I don't think we can make this work in a way that's interesting. So. I'm sure there's prototypes internally. I'm sure they have all kinds of that stuff that they mess around with in the R&D department, but very little of the R&D turns into actual products. So with the Fold 2, it's like, I think it's the best foldable yet. I'll give it that.
Yeah.
That's still not saying much. This is the best it's ever been. Yeah, it's competing with about three other phones. Kind of like how the Galaxy Note is the best phone with a stylus you can buy
in 2020. Is there a new Note?
Yeah.
Did they come out with a new Note?
Yeah, they did.
When was that? I don't even. I just. It's that. Couple weeks ago. It's that time of the year, and I haven't even seen it. So let's see what the Note is.
Well, it's $1,000 and has a plastic back. And the Note 20 Plus.
Maybe I do remember making fun of it.
$1,300. Yeah, I think we talked about it a little bit, but
that was a while ago.
It's fine. It's expensive and
5G.
You know, it's what you'd expect from a Galaxy Note in 2020. Not really a lot of surprises, in my opinion. But that's how I see the foldable. I see it in the same way. It's just like, yep. I mean, Samsung. You can make your weird. Samsung's probably the only company that can afford to make a foldable like this because they're the display manufacturer themselves, so they can. They can make a $2,000 folding phone, but if other companies tried to do it, I don't think they could find a way to do it affordably or with healthy enough profit margins that people would be interested. But
because the S20 and all of the other Android phones are propping up Samsung, so they can operate a 2% margin, you know, fold two or Z Flip or something. So
they're designing
also,
all this
the
in-house,
Z Flip
so they can...
should be renamed to the V Flip. Like, it's a V Flip.
Yeah, I don't
folks.
Know where they got Z from. That's so weird. If there were two hinges, maybe, but there's only one, so I don't get it. But yeah, I think the tech community sometimes thinks things are bigger deals than they actually are. The Pixel line is a great example. You know, we always talk about the Pixel like they're this major contender, and their sales numbers are super low compared to the general market. The number of people in the real world that actually know what Pixel phones are is very small compared to the latest iPhone people buying. You know, Pixels are not even in the top 10, probably not even in the top 20 globally most popular shipped smartphone. But we talk about them every year, and I think the Fold is going to be similar just because of how high priced it is. And the other thing I think people should remember is this is not first generation product anymore. We're getting into the second gen now. This is, you know, the first Fold was unveiled in April of 2019, and now we're wrapping up 2020 with the Fold 2. So
18 months, my
we can't just keep saying first generation, this beta product, this is a concept. It's like we can't keep doing this anymore. Now we have to start getting into the criticism. Now we have to start saying what they need to work on. And so I don't know how long you're going to stretch the, well, it's a first generation, it's early, one day it'll get cheaper. Well, it's been 2 years now, and it's not gotten cheaper. So are we sure it's getting cheaper?
That'll happen next year or whenever we have some competition. Because right now, Samsung owns the market, unless you count the Duo as a folding phone. And it's not. It's two phones with some super glue duct tape. Speaking of,
it has a hinge.
We'll get to that in just a second. But Samsung doesn't need to lower the prices because they have all three of the major folding phones on the market. Okay, sure, the Moto Flip thing or whatever, the Moto one. That hasn't been relevant in a year and a half, so we can stop talking about that.
No one wants that thing.
Yeah, but like Samsung has no reason to lower the prices, because why would they? They can charge $2,000, and all the tech people...
They're doing the Thomas Brown edition.
Exactly. With the three colors. I need the white and the blue and the red strip all right next to each other and get confused with the French flag.
Mm-hmm.
Super important, folks.
I don't, like... The way they're marketing it, I don't think the long-term goal is to replace all smartphones with folding phones. I don't think that the way they're marketing it as is as a luxury segment for those who have the money, but they're still selling things like the S20, the Note 20.
So they're trying to pull
off
an iPhone 11 Pro Max advertisement. And it's now I'd say actually the iPhone 10S Max. Because the iPhone XS, they totally went into the gold, and like they had like the lady on
the luxury dunes premium.
And, yeah, it was felt very premium. But I think the 11 Pro kind of felt more utilitarian because they had that robot showing off like the water splashing it and all the
right.
I think they went into utility. I don't know. That was a tangent, but yeah, Samsung. So Microsoft
more ironing things out. Yeah.
Yeah, Microsoft Duo, though. Like, what the heck? Why would you waste your perfectly good money on that, Drew? Like, I might disown you as an Apple sheep. Giving Microsoft money for their not smartphone after we totally killed off our smartphone line because we screwed up that bad. We're just going to sell an Android phone with a Windows logo on the back.
I'm buying it for the same reason I bought the original Pixel. Because it's just so mind-boggling and confusing to me that I want to use it myself so that people can't say, well, if you used it, you would know. Because that argument comes up a lot these days, as people keep saying, you've clearly never used one. You've clearly... Well, would your mind change if I told you I did use it? Probably not, but I'd like to prove the point in the first place. We can get that base... Because same thing happened with the Flip. I kept saying, I don't get the point of the Flip. Why does it exist? What does this help with? People are like, well, dude, you haven't even used it. You just got to use it. Okay, I'll buy it. I buy it. I review it. I put my SIM in it. I use it. Okay, I don't get the point, guys. Well, you just don't get it. So the argument will change after I... But what I've noticed on Twitter a lot is people basically saying you're too closed-minded or you're too arrogant if you disagree with my opinion on foldables.
Oh, of course.
In my opinion, it's more open-minded to be like, can we just stop for a second? I know that since decades ago, we've been talking about folding screens and folding tech and having it unfold into bigger screens. So similar to flying cars, a lot of us just assume that's the future. In the future, it'll unroll and be like paper. But in my opinion, it's almost a little bit more open-minded to say, hey, you know what? Maybe this isn't, you know, just as much as saying it is. I think considering both options and reviewing, you know, like, okay, what does this help with? What does this not help with? Instead of just saying, nope, objectively, this is the future. No way around it. It has to be this. It has to be the future. To me, that's almost more closed-minded if just saying, like, I don't care if you've used it and you don't find interest in it. I don't care if the numbers for sales are low. I don't care if they can't find a way to make it cheaper. It's the future. It's been decided. Done.
I don't think it's as much of an argument of open or closed-mindedness. Because if you think back to Steve Jobs, he was very close-minded. I think he was probably one of the most close-minded people on the planet. But yet focus was always to make great products that, and I'm not doing a Tim Cook impression, just great products. And that was his focus. And he did really good products, right? iPhone 4, OG iPhone, iPod,
changed the world.
iMac. He changed the world.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that
he was pretty close-minded.
I don't think you should be open-minded when something is clearly better. When something is clearly better user experience, clearly better durability, clearly better in battery life, ergonomics, usability, cheapness, cost to produce, cost to maintain. There are a dozen reasons why a non-folding phone is objectively better than a folding phone, and it's missing out on the one feature of it folding, which comes with 80,000 compromises. I don't think you need to be open-minded about that. I am closed-minded about that. I want a phone that does not fold. Nick and Sweeney, 2020.
Well, I've yet to use the Galaxy Fold because I ordered one and Samsung canceled it and then decided not to ship any, and I had to buy one in store and none of the stores around me supported them. So it's kind of, in my opinion, unreasonable to get mad at me for not trying, because it's like the only way for me to
I'm
get
not
my
mad
hands
at you for
on the
trying.
Original Fold.
I'm mad at you for trying, Drew. Stop trying to try.
I know.
Stay in the walled garden, Drew.
I want to give it a fair shot.
Don't leave the walled garden. Steve Jobs and Jonathan Iovine have set up the paradise for us sheep. We must not leave the fold. The fold is
you just
the
don't
fold
want me to
sheep.
Turn green. That's all. But I want to review it just so I can give it a fair shot and say, is there something I'm missing? Is there some use case that I'm not seeing?
Don't give it a fair shot. Perfectly nitpick every single detail.
I've yet to see what I'm missing, but I gotta use it myself just so I can say I have tried. Yeah. But at least with the Flip, it was like I try to remind people that I didn't get a whole lot of backlash for that review. I mean, performance wise, it didn't get a ton of views. But my angle with the Z Flip review was, let's pretend there's no durability problems and it's $700.
Yeah,
and
it still wasn't
I still had a hard time recommending it. Even if it was half the price and had no durability issues, I still have a hard time recommending it. Just as a $700 experience, it's kind of hard to justify because the Flip adds more complexity and more steps that I don't have to worry about with a normal phone. Mm-hmm. And the Galaxy Fold is taking it in a different direction of, it's a tablet, it's a phone, it's both, it's a two-in-one. But my issue with that is Android has not proven they're very good with tablet experiences in the first place.
Yeah, exactly.
As Samsung had really great selling tablets. I mean, compared to the iPad, definitely not. So why are we trusting them? Like, I think the disconnect fundamentally falls down to, would people spend $1,000 on a 7.6-inch tablet? I don't think so. That's running Android. And would people spend
$1,000
on a super...
I was imagining a $1,000 iPad Mini, and I was like...
There you might have an argument, because software matters, but...
right.
Yeah, just even an iPad smaller than the screen of the iPad Mini, with a smaller battery, just with thin bezels, that's $1,000. I think people would criticize Apple for that. I think... Some Apple sheep might justify it, but still, typically, if we're spending a grand on an iPad, we want it to be 13 inches, and we want big, great speakers. And
or if you're spending $2,000 on an iPad, you want it to either tell you you have 550 gigs free or 50 gigs free.
right. If you're spending that much on an iPad, you want laptop replacement type material. Yeah. You don't want iPad mini size, screen. And having a tall, thin phone that is chunky for $1,000, it doesn't, like, parts wise I'm sure it's probably $2,000 worth of parts, but it's experience wise the value is not $2,000 compared to what it's trying to replace. And a lot of people compare this to the original iPhone. It's really not that groundbreaking, in my opinion. It's not as innovative as the first iPhone. Like, there were so many new technologies going in with the new iPhone compared to the Fold, which is like, we figured out a way to make an OLED display go back and forth versus
1,000 times in a lab. And,
yeah.
With no dust.
Right. Versus scrolling on the iPhone. Remember how that was like a new thing?
Rubber banding.
Versus, bringing the App Store to a user experience and that kind of
thing. No, control.
In my opinion.
Just walled garden to App Store. So some people don't remember. There used to be web apps, right? Like, all the iPhones could always run like web apps, and they still can. But like, it was a wild, wild west. It wasn't until Steve Jobs said, no, we're enforcing restrictions, and we're not going to let certain things happen inside of our controlled App Store environment, that we ever had an app market and there was ever anyone competing.
And it did really well. Most and popular
it's
app
almost
store.
Almost like Epic just didn't understand this very basic point.
But they're Epic, Nick. You need to understand. This is Epic Games.
We
can break
Fortnite
the rules.
On the iPhone, obviously. Because I don't have anything else to do with my day.
Yeah. So I've yet to see the use cases with the Fold to justify it, but my point, another great point is, if you want to keep comparing it to the iPhone, iPhone didn't really get much cheaper.
Mm-mm.
They really just justified the value.
Mm-hmm.
Unlocked, the original iPhone was about $500. And no, since then...
On contract, the original iPhone was $500.
Oh, unlocked, it was $6-something, wasn't it? $650?
The second generation iPhone 3G was $600 unlocked, but the first iPhone ever was $499 on a 2-year contract.
Mm-hmm.
It was like $1,200. I don't even think you could buy it unlocked originally. You had to buy it through AT&T on the contract.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So I guess my point is Apple didn't lower the price of the iPhone significantly to the point of popularity. They got people used to paying that much for phones, and people weren't used to paying that much beforehand. Yeah. I think there's a flawed thesis of the future of foldables that, well, it starts out expensive, but over time it makes its way down, and it'll eventually be $1,000 or less for a Galaxy Fold type experience. And I don't really see that happening. I mean, I don't see how the parts and the components that are involved can get to that level of scale, especially when it's so niche right now. You need kind of economies of scale in order to get to a point where you can accept lower profit margins per device.
Yep.
And you need tons and tons of people buying into it. I mean, obviously now we have the iPhone SE and we have cheaper iPhones, obviously. But those cheaper iPhones aren't what made the norm. And those aren't the most popular. Still, the iPhone 11 and XR were the best-selling smartphones globally the past couple of years.
Yeah.
And those are $700, $750 bucks, which is pretty close, pretty on par to the unlocked prices of the first generation iPhones in the first wave. So I don't think that the Galaxy Fold 3 is going to be a grand or less. I really think this, like, is kind of the normal.
The Z Flip 2, which is a grand, because I think the Z Flip is 1200,
14.
Okay, I haven't.
And then the 5G was more, so they can get them down a little bit. I'm not saying they won't lower in price at all, but I don't think as drastically as people are assuming. And the other fact is, while foldables might get cheaper, guess what? Everything else is going to get cheaper too.
Exactly.
You'll be able to get 120 hertz budget, you know, the Pixel 4a type budget, or the OnePlus type budget. You know, you'll be able to get real nice flagships for less. So it's not like flagship smartphones are staying the same price and foldables just have to go down. It's like they're all going down. So I don't think the average everyday consumer is going to end up shilling out the extra money for that. So yeah, but I think you're right. I think you phrased it well. I think if something's objectively better, it's okay to be a little close-minded on the subject. Kind of like the Surface Duo, for example.
Exactly.
I'm very close-minded on that.
I cannot wait to hear your thoughts on that. Part of me wants to drive all the way out there and just to touch it and hold it and bend it the wrong way. I'm going to do a jerry-rig everything on it and be like, so.
Yeah, really.
From top-down desktop. Be like, so, it folds, but does it fold backwards? Oh, it does.
Right. How come when Apple makes something thin, it's all Bendgate, but when Microsoft does it, it's just really cool? Look, everyone, look how thin it is.
And everyone it wants bends. To talk
about how thin it is. And I'm like, we care about that now? Was that
well, because Apple's not doing it. If Apple's beating the competition, it's not important. But if the competition's beating Apple, then it's very important. It's called the double standard, Drew. They're very fun.
That's what it feels like to me, because I felt like back in 2013, 2014, everyone kept saying, who cares if your phone is thinner? Give us bigger battery. Mm-hmm. And now the Duo has a tiny battery and a thin design, and everyone's like, that's so cool.
It's not the iPhone.
I think what it comes from is tech reviewers.
Ignorance. You're right. Reviewing ignorance.
So many.
Ignorance. Just ignorant people making ignorant products for ignorant people. You're right. 100% agree.
It's not just ignorance. I just think that they review so many phones that they don't have a good grasp on what the average consumer cares about. You know, that's why we see Unbox Therapy say the 10R is depressing, and yet it outsells everyone. You know, it's like the tech community reviews a new phone every month. So when they see a phone that's so different, that folds and opens up, it's like, whoa, it's not a glass rectangle. Wow. This is so amazing. This is the next
thing. It's a plastic rectangle.
They're just impressed because... Yeah. Now it's a plastic
rectangle. With a glass layer.
They just see... Yeah, they just see something so out of the norm that they're convinced it's the future. But the truth is they're going to stop using it in a month and go back to using the S21 when it comes out. Yeah. And then they're going to go back to this and go back to this. Whereas the everyday consumer is buying one phone and typically holding on to it for 3 or 4 years. And most of the people that have a foldable phone have more than one phone. So in my opinion, that makes it more of a collector's type. It's the phone enthusiast. It's fun to buy if you review phones, but if you're looking for something to use for the next 3 years,
yeah,
it's not really that. You know what I found really funny? You'll get a kick out of this.
Oh,
as a finance
guy, please kick
me.
Kick me till I giggle, Drew.
On Samsung's, please kick me. Just like that expression. On Samsung's website, where you can order the fold. Full name is Galaxy Z Fold 2 5G.
Jeez. I hate that name.
They have
for the record.
A financing option.
Ooh.
Where you can pay it off for $25 a month.
Whoa.
For 2,000 48 months.
48 months?
48.
48? What the heck? A 48-month loan?
Oh.
No!
But Nick, that's with trade-in.
With a trade-in? What on earth? A 48-month loan?
If you're not doing a trade-in, it's $42 a month for 48 months.
48 months? That's 4 years!
It'll just take you 4 years to pay off the phone.
Phone! That's not even going to last a week because it's a fragile display.
But I'm not done yet.
But we're not done yet! Okay!
Okay, 4 years, right? 4 years of paying off the phone. Samsung has promised 3 years of software updates.
Oh my God. You're going to be paying for this phone longer.
You will be paying off the phone even after Samsung is no longer supporting it.
Today, we're introducing
literally
48-month financing, a trade-in, and a revolutionary new product design and support. That's 48-month loan, a revolutionary new product support, and financing. Are you getting it? These are not three separate products. This is the world's worst deal.
They literally advertise that on their website.
Is it a 0% APR, or are they charging actual interest on this? Wow.
It says 0%
APR. Yeah. It would be 0%, I imagine. But 4 years, oh my gosh. Still, don't do that, people.
I just want to say on the record, I've never seen any phone plan go to 48 months. I thought it was crazy last year. We were hearing T-Mobile start doing 36-month contracts.
That's still crazy.
And I was like, dang. But at the same time, it was like you could get an iPhone for like $12 a month or something crazy like that. You know,
but
it was
3 years.
Yeah, it's a long time.
iPhone
to
was
be
3 years
stuck
ago
on a finance plan.
This time, 3 years ago, we were all thinking the iPhone.
Your iPhone 10.
Well, the iPhone 10 would have come out in a couple extra weeks. So 3 years in a couple weeks. I couldn't.
Gosh.
But 4 years would be an iPhone 7.
0% APR. If it was $9.99 and we divvied it up among 36 months, it would be like under $30 a month.
Yeah.
For 3 years. And now the fact that it's $40 a month for 4 years.
4 years.
And the phone won't even get software support for that long.
Oh my gosh.
Can you imagine?
Man, that is that out of all of the things I've seen in the year 2020, It's not the thousands of people who have died from the COVID. It's not the hundreds of people who have died in fires.
Oh,
it's not the global economy crash. It is the 48-month loan of the Galaxy Z Fold 2 5G. Oh, my gosh.
That means if anyone's doing that today, I highly hope no one is doing that.
They're going to be dead before we stay
off. It's going to be 2024 when they pay off their phone. It'll be another election year. Oh, my God.
$40 a month for 4 years. What guy at Samsung was like, yeah, that's a good idea. No. No.
It just says a lot about the price overall.
Yeah. People, really, what's that?
I think a lot of the time they see the Note at $1,300 and they see the S20 Ultra at $1,400 and then they go, oh, $2,000 for a folding phone? You know, it's a tablet and phone in one. $2,000? I guess it's not that bad. You know, tablet's $1,000, phone's $1,000. But when you start to realize that this is not a phone that's going to get iPhone SE levels of support, you know, it's not going to get 6 or 7 years of updates. Unlike the iPad Air 2, which got 7 years of support and it was $500. I don't know. That just seems like a horrible investment to me.
That is
not something coming to the everyday consumer. In my opinion, if the Z Fold 2 was going to sell pretty well and a lot of people were going to upgrade to it, you would need to be near the $1,000 price point.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of the number where the compromises for what you're getting start to make sense.
Yeah.
Because obviously a hinge in the fold and the crease in the screen and everything is going to give you a little bit of a worser experience than a $1,000 tablet. And the narrow display isn't going to give you a $1,000 phone. But if you can get a little bit of both, I'm not even saying that would be the future. I'm not even saying that would replace everyday smartphones. I'm just saying for the Fold 2 to make sense to me and for it to be popular, it would have to be near $1,000. And we're just so nowhere near that. We are so far off.
So that even that loan thing is just showing you how Samsung has decided to see the product in their eyes. Like, we're seeing it as this complete dumpster fire. But they're like, okay, so we've made this revolutionary new technology. Sure, it costs twice as much as most flagships. But we don't want to have people freak out when they see it advertised at $80 a month for 2 years. So they're like, how can we reduce the $80 a month price? We could cut the price in half. We could reduce margins. Maybe we could use a cheaper, smaller screen on the front. No. Let's make it 48 months. Because all they're doing is they want to compete. When someone walks into a Verizon store, now it's all, you know, monthly numbers, right? No one's ever talked in outrights. Yeah. So you see iPhone XS Max, iPhone 11 Pro Max or 12 Pro, whatever it's going to be called, at $38 a month or whatever it is, you know, around 40, maybe $41, $42 a month, something like that. And you walk over to the Fold display, they don't want you to see $80. They want you to see the same $40 that everyone else is charging. And unfortunately, it's sad to say, a lot of people aren't savvy enough or don't feel like understanding or taking the time to figure out how their finances work. But like, they're like, oh, that's just going to be, you know, okay, 48 months. How many years is that? I don't know. 3 years? Yeah, that sounds about right. 48 months, 3 years. It's just such an abstract number, right? Like,
it's like $1.20 a day.
No.
Right?
Well, yeah, for 4 years, I guess. But the phone's not going to last you 4 years.
That's how they want you to think about it.
Yeah.
Every day you wake up and you've lost $1.20.
Yep.
That's how it works.
Basically how life works. Every morning you wake up and it's like Verizon.
I mean, that's how Apple wants you to think.
Yeah. And I'm still not a fan of these monthly things. Like,
I think it's horrible, but I see Apple do the same thing with the monthly plans and stuff. But that's for like 1 to 2 years. This is double that.
So I do have on the loan update. So remember when I got the iPhone XS Max, I did the Apple upgrade program? Well, when I upgraded, when I sold that phone and I upgraded to the 11 that I bought outright, I called to try to cancel the or pay off the Citizen One loan for the iPhone XS.
Oh.
But I couldn't figure it out. They sent me the royal runaround. They told me to go to the website. I couldn't figure it out on the website. And so I just gave up. I had already gotten the cash for it, so I just was going to continue making the payments. And I finally did the last payment, so I'm so happy to see that $60-something dollars roll off my account. And
do
I'm just
your
like,
debt-free scream.
Wow, yay. Well, I already had the cash. You know, I'd already sold the phone for more than it was worth, so I was very proud about that.
Yeah.
So, but it was just like, man, I am so thankful I'm finally done with that stupid, like, because it was just starting to bug me. Like,
I don't like monthly stuff.
In like March, yeah. I was just like, I just need to figure out a way to get rid of this. And so their website is so crappy. Don't do the app upgrade program, people. I couldn't figure out how to get them to just bill me for the full amount. And so, yeah, finally, this month was the last payment.
Use the Apple card.
I was just like, yes. So I'm never doing monthly payment ever again because those things suck. Just paid outright. It hurts once, and then you're done with it. But when you're in an upgrade program, it just hurts every month. And
it does hurt. I want to get off of monthly expenses as much as possible.
How can I get my monthly expenses so low that the revenue from this podcast, which is probably still negative, you know, balance that out?
Exactly. That's our goal, ladies and gentlemen.
Take Nick full time.
So thank you for this week's sponsors. Hopefully we'll have some new Apple products to talk about next episode. Thank you all for watching. Have a great day. Bye, everyone.
See you later. Ba-ba.